I have got a good Assassin's conspiracy theory, to be fair.
let's hear it.
Well, apparently Catcher in the Rye is like a massive trigger for Assassins.
Right, not a trigger, it's just something they read.
It is, it's an obsession of a lot of them because of the sort of... But there's like a theory that it's used sort of by like FBI, CIA and stuff as a kind of actual, like...
That's weird.
If you were the CIA or FBI, style. You wouldn't though, would you? You'd change
Again,
the book.
It's to what end?
You'd change the book. You'd change the fucking book.
But also, J.D. Salinger's apparently a bit of a pedo, so can we trust anything they say?
Who?
J.D. Salinger, the writer of Catcher in the Rye. Matt Salinger... Captain America.
Oh.
In the
Any 90s.
In the, yeah. Oh. His son.
Wow.
90s Captain America.
Well, there we are.
Interesting.
Anyway. So we had from Frank Margarella, soap. I respect a vague title. I didn't manage to get to it this time, but I would like to make soap into a sci-fi.
Yeah.
I just don't know quite how. Maybe it's like...
It's like a Black Mirror episode where they invent a new kind of soap that washes everything once and then you're only done with it. But, like... kills you.
Yeah, over time.
Your skin off.
Like, yeah.
I can write Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's soap, it cleans, and you put it on surfaces, and it cleans, right? But then eventually, because it's nanobots, but eventually it starts thinking that humans are uncleaning themselves, and start eating away at their flesh.
Humans are
like, I never have to shower again! Wait a minute! And then it starts eating flesh.
Yeah.
And then the one guy who's like... chronically hates showering and hates being clean or maybe it's like a guy who has like OCD and really obsessed about germs and doesn't want to use this because he hates the idea of crawling nanobots all over him. And then those two characters have to work together to stop this nanobot destruction.
That it only attacks people on mobile phones.
Alright,
you have a certain app on a mobile phone. Soap app.
Or as Stephen King.
Soap.
Soap. Fuck you. Fuck you, Stephen King. That does sound like a Stephen King. Rather than a Black Mirror, that sounds like a Stephen King.
No.
It's not insightful enough for a
The
Black
fact
Mirror.
That we came up with it in 5 seconds, Stephen King. But Stephen King
I like Stephen
it.
King a lot.
Okay, so one more from Toby Jones. It came from beyond the catchment area. I deliberately chose one that's a little bit more domestic.
This is more of a sort of a younger audience aimed, more of a kind of...
Okay.
Like a sort of...
this sounds like...
It is about...
I'm thinking suburban.
I'm thinking it's like in a secondary school.
Yeah.
And a new kid turns up.
Yeah.
And they're a bit weird.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They're a transfer student.
Yeah. A student gets transferred, and all this weird stuff starts happening at the school.
I feel like we open right with a kid going to secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an early. Who are we telling this from the perspective of?
I think we should have from just another child in the class. So we've had Millie Bobby Brown in two different films. We need another child actor.
Are there any others?
Oh, don't you and right. You've been on the show. Thousands of times at this point.
I thousands totally cast Millie Bobby Brown and things.
Why not a teacher then?
You know how we struggle with
kid actors.
Because
it's aimed at kids. It's like the Goonies. It's like the Goonies,
right, okay.
But about some sort of, I don't know.
I'm thinking
Haley Joel Osment.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, he's delightful.
Haley Joel Osment. So he's heading to school and he's got everything figured out, right?
Yeah.
He's quite popular at school.
No. He's one of the nerds.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He is one of the nerds.
We're in Stranger Things territory here.
But everything in this. So I'm thinking like Truman Show style. Everything in this neighborhood, like. He's got... The world is figured out. Everyone's got their own place.
Mm.
So, like, it's very, very stable, is what I'm trying to say. Like, the suburbs are very, very stable. Like, so he's walked to school. He says hi to the old man with the DeLorean. And he sort of, like, says, I'm not talking to you today, but, you know, see ya. And then you're not in this film, but you're a reference.
It's a weird, weird crossover we're doing.
And then, you know, he walks on and then he, like... picks up two or three papers to because his friend delivers them, and he's like, they're on your way to school and whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah. We see his like morning routine, like exactly, yeah. So that we can disrupt it later on.
And he's cycling his way to school,
yeah. Waving to all the neighbours. He's got one of his little baskets on the front. Mm.
Yeah, avoids the bullies. We get the bullies seated in there, played by Tom Hanks.
just fully grown Tom Hanks.
Just a kidded up Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks. He's got a little cap with a pinwheel on. And
John Travolta and...
trying very hard not to say Danny DeVito.
Incredibly hard.
Danny DeVito is his mate. Danny DeVito is his best mate.
No, Danny DeVito is his dad.
No.
That would be pretty good.
Oh, no! I'm saving Danny DeVito. Save it for later. I've got an idea.
So are we, clearly.
Danny DeVito is what comes from beyond the catchment area, obviously.
This kid comes to school.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's having a nice day. Apart
in
from
my one. Head, yeah. I genuinely got a good idea.
Right. So me too. For me, this film is... teen Invasion of the Body Snatchers, kind of. Yeah. Apart from, there's a twist. And the twist is... he was living in the body snatchers area. The person who came in was the not body snatched person.
He was one of the body snatchers. He was he was one of the cocoon people. Yeah. And the person who comes in wasn't. So like,
yeah, wait. They're just normal.
That guy's got personality.
He's different.
He's not part of the collective.
What's happening? It's like Pleasantville.
I don't know Pleasantville.
Oh, mate, it's great. Ooh,
I think I know what you mean, yeah.
Where they get sucked into the 50s TV show and make everyone turn to colour by teaching about sex and enjoying things in life.
That sounds weird.
That does
really
sound weird.
Really good.
Anyway, great. So yeah. That was my idea, but I'm willing to just... I've put that out there now. Those cards are now played,
well,
so you guys head on.
I was going to have it being a bit like... like, so this kid sort of comes into the school and he's a bit weird, and then
it would be being played by Danny DeVito.
No, he's not played. But he's played by like a normal child. He's played by the little woman with the frizzy hair from Stranger Things.
Okay.
Dustin.
Yeah.
He's got
the one with no teeth.
The one with the teeth, and the hat.
Or lack of teeth.
Yeah. So every so then basically like after school or something, one day he goes into this classroom and sees this strange sort of. Little hairy thing hunched over something in the science lab. But he's wearing the exact same clothes as this kid. Okay. And he turns the light on and Danny DeVito.
With these glowing white eyes. Hey! I'm eating over here!
And then he goes, oh, that's all he's out, and like, turns the light off, and like shuts the door, and like is looking really like, oh no, and then sort of gears himself up and like opens the door and peeks back in. It's just a normal kid, just like, hey,
yeah,
man,
no,
how you doing?
He goes and gets a teacher, like, there's a man in there, in the classroom eating something, and then the teacher comes through, played by Neil Patrick Harris, and he's like... I've been pranked before by you, Haley Joel Osment. You're normally a good kid, but what's going on in here? Opens the door and it's just a new kid. And it's like...
just reading a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just doing something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just doing something completely ordinary.
Yeah.
It's being totally normal.
My idea, right, was Stranger Things style aesthetic.
Right.
Yeah.
Late 80s. Early 80s, late 80s. 80s.
I think, yeah.
The
80s.
Remember
it has
those?
To be in the 80s.
I don't. But I pretend to when I watch Stranger Things.
Remember Things from the 80s? That's what Stranger Things is.
Yeah, remember those.
Remember Things from the 80s that lasted, that had a legacy of more than 10 years?
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah. No, I don't remember anything from the 90s. It was just a grey decade.
It was anything but. It was purple, pink and lime green, if anything.
Neon everything.
I always see the 90s as silver for me.
Silver?
Weird. Yeah.
Weird.
That's the colour I associate with the 90s. However,
lavender suits and things.
My idea was kid, just Haley Joel Osment. Kid Haley Joel Osment. Yep. Sort of new girl comes to town, Elle Fanning.
Yes.
Who he gets a crush on. Super 8 thing happens where weird shit keeps going on in this town.
Yeah.
Like, there's a weird, like, cult kind of thing. There's a weird kind of conspiracy theory vibe going on. Turns out, right, there's a sort of, like, the head of this romance, this kid romance, she's like, I've got something to tell you.
The head of this kid romance.
It's, well, the climax of this. Kid
okay,
romance.
Right. I see.
Yeah.
I thought you meant a new character that was the head of kid romance in school, like a matchmaker, played by Miley Cyrus. You two look good together.
Miley Cyrus played by John Goodman.
what?
No, he right. The climax of this romance, the girl, they kiss finally, and then like the weird shit sorted out. Turns out it wasn't an alien at all. But at the end, she's like, "Yeah, I'm. You know, you don't know. Like, I don't have any parents. I just sort of try and blend in." He's like, "Yeah, you're the most normal girl in school. Like, that's why I like you."
Mm.
And she's like, "Yeah, there is a reason for that. Like, I'm designed to blend in with whatever planet me and my dad go to. My dad being a hungry space giant that doesn't care about anyone living on this planet. He just likes to just eat planets.
So she's the Silver Surfer,
kind of, yeah. like just cosmic horror it again. I felt your ideas were lacking that sense of disinterested
cosmic horror.
I think the horror of a small boy turning into Danny DeVito, eating all the frogs and mice they keep in 80s.
Yeah, but that's a pretty personal story.
See, my kind of horror was the kind of horror that someone realizes that they have an accent. Right, they're invasion of the body. They are. I'm the body snatchers. Right, my community is the body snatchers, and this person who wasn't a body snatcher, he's like, he gets to know them before he gets body snatched.
Mm.
He's only a young body snatcher, so he doesn't really realize what body snatching entails. He thinks everything's normal. Then this new kid comes in, is different, has a personality. He finds friendship with this person, and then the community all come in like Hot Fuzz style to try and PTA. The PTA come in and they try and change him to be another one of them, and he's like, "No, don't do it. We've got to get you out of this community." And it's a parallel for people realizing that their way of life, their community's way of life, isn't everyone's way of life.
I like that.
Yeah,
actually.
I think the first idea and your idea was the better one.
I think that's what we got to go with.
Also, my idea, Elle Fanning, really big fan of surfing.
Yeah.
Throw that in there.
One more from Phil Walters, space dentist.
So.
I'm going on cosmic.
No, right. We start with this with Steve Martin from Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay, the actual dentist.
He's done that bit. He's dying, and then he's having laughing gas, and then he dies, and he gets chopped up and put in this plant.
Yeah.
The plant, once it's taken over Earth, which is what
is
the original
ending is. Sequel to Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Shop of Horrors.
Right. Vomits him back out because he's so like nasty.
Okay, so because he embodies all the uncaring and psychotic,
and also because he respects him a little bit, because the plant's a dickhead as well.
Establishment, yeah. All right.
The plant is a dickhead. He eats
Audrey. Audrey 2 is pretty dickheadish.
Right,
he's very demanding that you feed him.
Feed me, Seymour.
Isn't it voiced by a woman?
No, yeah. It's voiced by someone from the Force. No, not the Four Seasons. It's Four Seasons.
It's like someone from the Force Awakens.
What was it? It's not Four Seasons.
Four Tops.
Four Tops. It's voiced by one of the guys from the Four Tops.
Why do I know that?
Brilliant. I've
never seen Little Shop of Horrors.
So
I hate musicals.
I've seen the play. I've seen the musical live. But...
So this whole film is the dentist taking one of the smaller Audrey 2s,
right,
out in a spaceship. to see where Audrey 2 came from, and
so
like,
Audrey's
seeing
like
the galaxy.
Audrey's like, what's the dentist called? Did he ever get a name?
No,
Steve,
he's
Martin.
Called Doctor
Steve Martin. You, by the way, I guess before I took over the Earth, your species were about to had this prototype spacecraft that would have got you to the nearest inhabited planet. Bad luck. bad luck. I happened first. Guess you're gonna spread me.
Spread me, dentist. Spread me.
So Steve has to take this potted plant while feeding it his blood.
It's like the Wallace and Gromit episode where they get in that little in the little spaceship and go to the moon to eat cheese.
Oh yeah.
That's it. It's just going a little different. It's all
to Earth-like planets in the Goldilocks
surprisingly cozy rocket.
there's just like nobody knew about, but NASA had it.
Yeah.
And then this big vine wraps it up and sort of like brings it to him because at this point Audrey 2 is across the entire planet and therefore one vine can just bring this rocket to him.
Throws the rocket. That's how it sets off. He just chucks it once they're both in it and it just goes out into space.
See, it's a good job you chose something pretty concrete there, because I was absolutely going to start with Rutger Hauer staring up into the sky and saying, space, isn't it like a gaping maw? Like a mouth in the sky. If only I could make the teeth look better. It's not his voice, but he's doing. He's a French dentist. He's a French existential dentist. Existentist. and then he blasts off to try and turn all the planets into nice looking teeth.
All the stars, surely. You can't see the planets from here.
But you can a bit.
You can see the planets in our solar system from here. You can't see any of our exoplanet.
All right, he's going to try and...
Unless you've got really good eyes.
Listen, he's treating the space as a mouth. There's only so far you can draw that comparison.
However, I'm thinking this space dentist... Dentist purely coming from a very niche reference point and that being Little Shop of Horrors.
I think that's very niche. I think most people understand that as a cultural point.
I think most people know what Little Shop of Horrors is about. I'm not sure everyone knows what the minor character of the dentist is.
All right, so the dentist, right. He's got a really good song. It's really good. He's like an Elvis sort of style. It's played by Steve Martin in the film. He's very, very funny. And he's a sadist and he's very mean. And he beats Audrey up. It's not very nice. And he's trying to kill Seymour in his dentist chair, but he inhales too much laughing gas because he's addicted to it. And he dies and then Seymour feeds him to the plant because the plant wants to eat blood. That's backstory there.
Backstory we didn't really need. So
you wanted me. You said it was a niche reference. I'm couching that reference in some plot.
So he's going around giving.
He's basically got. He's got a ship full of these plant pots. Right.
He's got to go and distribute them.
This is very similar to the ending of Alien Covenant.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, where, with old Michael Fassbender.
It's similar to the end of Alien Covenant, apart from the aliens are in plant pots.
Yeah.
Imagine if at the end of Alien Covenant, you had terracotta plant pots.
Michael Fassbender just walking
with a face with a facehugger inside.
Go to the facehugger scene from Alien, right?
Yeah.
Just all these terracotta plant pots.
Superimpose over someone's chest.
They're just come from Mario.
They're chest bursting.
Come from a Mario game. They're all just like, they're looking around, like, waiting for Mario to come and hit them.
It's like a chest, that chest bursting scene from Alien. Apart from, instead of the body, it's just a plant pot.
Like, you could easily go back and do the alien chest-bursting scene, but cut in, like, an Audrey 2 kind of...
Yeah, it would be good, yeah.
That kind of thing. That thing happens. Yeah, it's another cosmic horror of sort of...
The emptiness of space being slowly filled. I'm taking this seriously now, because it is a good visual. But we have to... A, bring his dentistry into it somehow, and B, find out an arc for him.
Well, Audrey 2 has... That's why Audrey brings him up, because, you know, this plant eats meat.
Yeah.
He's having some dental problems.
He's the... Well, yeah. Also, he's the one human on Earth awful enough to go along with this without revolting against
the
plan.
He's got the dentistry background that he hasn't already killed and he can't bring him back.
It's about addiction. He's addicted to laughing gas.
Yep. Yeah.
And he can't hack it because there's no laughing gas in space.
Yeah.
In space, there's no laughing gas. That's
no one
the
can hear you laugh.
that's the tagline.
That is the tagline.
sounds like a shit scary movie parody.
Oh,
how wrong you will be. And the alien plant has got to come to terms with its meat addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. They on the journey, like, he gets down to, he's seeded like six other worlds. Yeah. Alien life, he's met alien life, ruined their planet, but he's not stopping to find out what happens because he's off to the next one, right?
Yeah.
And then the last one, the last Audrey 2 planet he's got left, he finds a planet that's very much like Earth and it reminds him a lot of Earth. And he starts having second thoughts. Because on the view screen comes up a scan of this Earth and he's seeing ground footage of it. And it's like, wow, that looks... Steve Martin's like, that looks a lot like Earth. And Audrey 2 is like, I'd just been born then. So I don't know if Audrey 2, the Audrey, I guess it'd be Audrey 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Audrey 9 is like... it certainly does look like who's playing Audrey 9?
I think they're voiced by...
We've been through all four of the four tops.
Yes.
and then some.
Barry White.
All right. It's Barry White.
It's got to be a really good... It's got to have a good voice.
The Four Audrey. Tops, The Temptations, and Barry White.
Yeah. That's nine.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Is Temptations four?
I think so, yeah.
So Barry White says, it does seem to look like...
That's George Takei.
Yeah.
No, it's voiced by George Takei. Keep going.
Oh my! It does seem to look like that's a lot like Earth. We should definitely infect this one, even though we already have one. We already have an Earth.
But this is definitely not Earth, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. We already have an Earth.
No, wait.
We don't need this one in our collection.
Weirdest, shittiest twist for this.
All right.
Right. They've been in space so long going at the speed of light.
Yeah.
Right. That they've actually gone, like, back to Earth. Civilization has collapsed and rebuilt itself again. It's a time travel thing.
It's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. So he's come back and he's like... And he's met himself.
And he's the one who throws down Audrey 2 to begin with.
Yeah.
With a lightning storm. Seymour to fight.
Oh my god, yeah. It's the whole damn thing. Like... Little Shop of Horrors starts there.
Yeah. It goes round in a loop.
Awful. And ends up killing himself by, like, turning up the laughing gas tap.
Because he's not had a hit in so long, he needs a really big hit.
Yeah.
So he turns
It's the same dentist
up.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Like, he re-establishes his life on Earth, starts dentistry again, sings his Elvis song, then hasn't had a hit on laughing gas so long, he turns it all the way up and dies, and then the whole process starts again.
Yep.
What was that called?
Space
dentist. Something you need an intimate knowledge of the little Shop of Horrors and to truly appreciate.
I think there's a bad dentist. That's it.
I think our listenership probably knows more or less what Little Shop of Horrors is.
Probably. Yeah. Let's hope so.
Yeah. If not, Google it. Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.